Welcome to The Link Online. Hello once again and welcome to our broadcast. And this is, of course, the show about Canadian news and news from Canada and Canadian views on world situations. And we'd like to welcome also listeners from World Radio Paris, the shortwave service from Germany, and Kauri 97.5 FM radio in Nigeria. And with me today in studio, once we get past those watching us live on Facebook or on the RCI channel, there you will finally see us. That's me with my hands out, Mark Montgomery, and I'm joined by...
You always got your hand out.
Yeah. I'm on the street, yes, there you go. Got to augment our meager salaries here. Well, you would know about that. Vincenzo, working a double shift once again. Vincenzo Morello is with us.
When you opened the show, when you started saying, this is a show, and like right away I go in my head, this is a show about nothing. And I go about Seinfeld. I don't know why. Like I always have Seinfeld on the mind, apparently.
Okay. And playing the part of Costanza is Terry Haig.
No, I like, who's the guy that, the big goofy guy?
Kramer.
Michael, was it Michael Edwards or something?
Michael Richards.
Anyway, but we digress. Today on the show, we've got, of course, COVID-19 is obviously world news, and we're going to be talking a little about that. You're going to have a little bit about that, right? What's your connection to this story?
Sports and how they're not happening anymore for a solid, like, month, maybe.
Sports?
At least.
Sports not happening. I'm going to be talking about a somewhat different pandemic that researchers are a little bit concerned about. And Terry, you're going to be talking about something completely different.
Yeah, conversion therapy.
Okay, let's... Just give us a little explanation of what we're converting from to, sort of thing.
Well, we're going to put this pledge pin on you, and we want you to belong to this society, to this fraternity.
Okay? All right, we'll have to stay tuned and find out more about what Terry's talking about. It is, I know it's a serious subject.
It is a very serious subject.
So we shouldn't
subject.
Make too much fun about it.
No.
In the control room today, we have Léo Boulanger, and we have Marc-André Deschamps, and of course, the one, the only, the man who makes an entrance every time he goes into a room and people are just suddenly hushed. With his presence, it is none other than Pierre Dutille. Hello, he's got his back to us now in the control room. We have to have a camera one day, just pan over and see what he's doing in there. Anyway, all right, that's coming up on this edition of The Link Online. All right, of course, the world news these days is none other than the COVID-19 virus. There's something like 4,000 deaths worldwide at this point. Last week, however, a group of researchers here in Canada said there's another pandemic that's going on. It's been going on for quite a while, and it's likely to just keep going on and get worse. And it contributes to the early deaths of millions of people around the world. And that is air pollution. And Dr. Courtney Howard is president of the Canadian Association of Physicians for the Environment.
Air pollution, as you've said, is being increasingly emphasized by the World Health Organization as a huge problem. So the number that they've been quoting has been about 7 million deaths a year worldwide. And their head, Dr. Maria Nera, in fact, just recently released a TED Talk on air pollution, emphasizing that it affects not only our lungs, but our heart and even our brain. So the study that came out this week by a group of relatively well-known researchers, and they used a different modeling technique and in fact found that the number was even higher. So they estimate that globally air pollution caused an extra 8.8 million premature deaths in 2015. And if you average that out over all of the people in the world, they estimated that that represents an average shortening of life expectancy of nearly 3 years for all persons worldwide.
Is there something specific in air pollution which obviously contains all kinds of chemicals? Any specific source?
They listed two components, so ozone and particulate matter that's smaller than 2.5 microns. But the thing about that particulate matter is it really could be anything. It's just really anything that fits through a grid that's below 2.5 micrometers per meter squared. And so what that means is it's just a toxic soup of whatever happens to be out there. So there's the sort of local irritation that really bad air pollution can cause. And then there's this entirely different thing, which is when the tiny little particles actually cross over into our bloodstream. And they lead to all sorts of imperfectly understood impacts on our levels of inflammation inside our body and in terms of what they do to how our endothelial cells work. And that's how some of the impacts on chronic obstructive pulmonary disease, lower respiratory tract infections, lung cancer, heart disease, stroke, and even things like high blood pressure and diabetes are felt to be mediated.
How big is the extent of this worldwide in the sense that we tend to see pictures like, for example, some cities, industrial cities in China, for example, or perhaps India, but in a place like Canada, for example, or some other countries where you have wide open spaces, is this the same sort of situation nonetheless?
It's certainly worse in parts of Asia and other places where there's huge levels of coal-fired power plants and a lot of air pollution from transport in a really small area. So in different parts of the world, it really is a huge public health emergency, which is why the authors of this paper used the word pandemic. They were really wanting to emphasize that this is a global problem. Here in Canada, we still don't get off free. They listed multiple deaths for Canadians, and this is consistent with studies that have come out before showing impacts of air pollution. At least 10,000 people died in Canada from air pollution, just the fine particulate matter type. And in Toronto, a Lancet paper last year showed that about 20% of new asthma cases in kids were as a result of traffic-related air pollution.
And that was Dr. Courtney Howard. She is president of the Canadian Association of Physicians for the Environment. And one of the aspects of this that they wanted to bring up was air pollution, of course, has always been connected with climate change. And what these physicians says, yeah, but you know what? That's not, we as societies are not really paying enough attention to this because we're really not doing that much in terms of reducing greenhouse gases. Mm. We're talking a lot about it, but we're not actually doing that much. So the physician said, well, look, not only is it bad for the climate, but it's actually slowly killing you. And it is, in fact, killing a lot of people, something like 8.8 million worldwide. Now, they also broke this down. They said, okay, of that 8.8 million worldwide that are suffering premature deaths, some of that is natural air pollution, like from fire, forest fires and stuff. Mm-hmm. But they broke it down and said of the human-made air pollution, like from traffic and factories and so on and so forth, there's still about 5.5 million deaths worldwide from this. So the idea is, you know, look, pay attention to this. We've got to solve this problem. And we can, as she says later on in that interview, this is a problem. Human-made air pollution is something we can solve if we get the willpower to do it. So, you know, she said, if you have a child and suddenly your child is getting asthma and will have that most of his life and so on, or her life, then this is something you want to be concerned about. And if you average these deaths out over the whole world population, she says, in terms of hard numbers, it's shortening everybody's life by 3.3 years. So it's an idea saying, look, here's another aspect of this serious problem that we should be really seriously thinking about and doing something about. So that's they're calling it, again, you know, a pandemic because it's a worldwide problem. And you saw those pictures of some of the cities there that were horribly polluted. I mean, she said she went to one of these conventions, the International Convention of something, climate change and so on, and they set up pods that had the same bad air conditions, polluted air conditions, as some of these cities. And she said, I couldn't stand it. She was in there for a couple of minutes, and I just couldn't stand it. I had to run out. You know?
What's the worst place in the world? China? Remember the Olympics? So everybody was going nuts when they had the Olympics there.
Well, China actually had to shut down all its factories to stop the
during the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah, because it was terribly polluted. I mean, it's like a huge fog. Remember the famous London fogs?
Mm-hmm. They weren't really fogs.
They weren't really fogs. That was caused by all the people burning cheap cheap coal and stuff back in the 1800s and stuff. You know, before they had electricity and stuff. Because they don't have the famous London fogs like that anymore where you can barely see your hand in front of your face kind of thing, right?
So, okay, I never knew that.
See, you learned
things. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
Well, I learned a lot on this show.
Stick with him. You learn a lot.
All right, so that's something we should take a look at.
A foggy day in London town. It had me low. It had me down. I viewed the city. Here's the key line. With great alarm.
Okay.
The British Museum had lost its charm.
Okay, well, listen, you're not going to get paid extra as a singer on this show.
And I fully understand why.
Are we going to get a claim? Like, we can't have the rights. That was so good.
We're going to get
might have been the real
thing. I think it's in public domain.
Oh, okay. So we're good. Right.
So anyway, that's a look at a health problem and a pandemic. And Vince, you're going to talk about a pandemic. And this is the one that's making the world news, COVID. And it's affecting all kinds of things, including
sports.
And how so, he asked.
So basically, so yesterday was quite the day in sports. Yesterday was the NHL, National Hockey League, the Major League Soccer, Major League Baseball, Formula One, and a bunch of other leagues.
NBA?
NBA was the day before.
NBA was the day before.
That's what
set it all off. I'm getting there. Okay. You're jumping ahead. University sports was canceled. And so, yeah, the dominoes really started falling Wednesday night. So it was the National Basketball Association. It was the first league to really suspend games. So what had happened was in a game was the Utah Jazz versus the Oklahoma City Thunder. The players were walking on the court. And during that time, there was like a big confusion. And it came out that one of the players reportedly, nothing's really confirmed. I don't remember if it was confirmed. It was Rudy Gobert had tested positive for this was the Utah Jazz player for COVID. And so once that came out, the game was postponed. And then not too long after, the league put out a statement saying we're suspending the games until further notice. And then, yeah, that was the first domino. And then again yesterday, everyone else pretty much came out and suspended their leagues until further notice. The NHL isn't sure when they're going to come back. And they're in the middle of their season right now, so it's unsure if they're going to jump straight into playoffs or finish their season and go into playoffs or, you know, finish their season, period. Major League Baseball suspended their spring training games yesterday. So, like, as the league was making their announcements, games are actually still happening for spring training, and they're delaying their start of the season for 2 weeks. Major League Soccer suspended their season for 30 days. And Formula One, after what I would call a bit of a circus, so they eventually...
Well, just describe what happened, because the Australian Grand Prix was apparently going to go ahead as usual.
It was... So what had happened earlier in the week, three team members, not necessarily drivers, but like people in the background, one from McLaren and two from Haas, don't quote me on that, I'm not entirely sure, were tested for COVID. And yesterday morning... our morning, McLaren pulled out because one of their team members tested positive. So that happened, and everyone assumed that after that, the Grand Prix would be canceled. But it was a huge confusion. Sky Sports was reporting it was canceled. BBC was reporting it was canceled. But there had been no official word until 6 o'clock, like Eastern, when teams were already on the track, reportedly. Fans were like queuing up to get into the track to, you know, get ready for the first free practice. And then finally, the FIA and Formula One decided to cancel the race. And it was a bit of a circus because everyone was so unsure of what was happening. And now they're suspending all their races until May.
Yeah.
So
that means the Montreal one would be on as it stands now.
As it stands now, yes. The Canadian Grand Prix is still going forward.
The other thing that I find really interesting is, and we were talking about this with Terry, is at this point, they are saying that the Tokyo Olympics are going ahead still.
Yep.
And you're saying not likely. You're betting against it.
They have to make a decision by May. I don't know. It depends how this is all going to straighten out, right? Because apparently now the cases of COVID-19 are way down in China. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I guess it depends on how they keep saying they got to flatten out the curve, right?
Yeah.
In all these countries. But I mean, where are we now? We're mid-March, so that's 6 weeks they're going to have to make a decision. So we'll have to see how it unfolds, right? I mean, it doesn't seem like in a lot of places it's getting any better, right? I mean, but they're saying the immunity, the herd immunity, is what they seem to be counting on now, right?
Yeah.
Well, so I don't know. I don't know if they can have the Olympics.
But even if it's going down in China, the new cases are diminishing.
Yeah.
That's what I heard anyway.
Yeah.
It seems that in other places they're starting to pick up. Like we seem to be getting more cases here in Canada, for example. There's only been one death.
In the United States and Italy.
Italy's in lockdown.
Iran. Yeah. We don't even know what's going on in Iran because it's one of those places where they don't like to let you know what's going on, right?
Yeah.
What's going on?
And meanwhile,
Marvin Gaye would not be good there.
Okay. Well, meanwhile, in sports, for example, we've had the cancellation of the World Championship figure skating.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the St. Patrick's Day parades.
The International Hockey, International Women's Hockey Championship. Yeah,
that's right. That was canceled. What was that, Nova Scotia?
That was Nova Scotia.
Where they haven't had a case, apparently, of COVID. Apparently.
Yet.
Yeah, but the testing is behind. How are we doing? I mean, America's really screwed up the testing, right?
Well, the problem,
are we doing okay with our testing?
These are like what people are hearing. It's basically it's hard to get tested unless you've come back from China, Iran, and Italy, or explicitly
they won't
come
see
into
you.
Contact. Unconfirmed, unofficially, but like that's what people are saying.
Okay, and in Quebec now, if you're coming back from overseas, you're supposed to voluntarily go into a 14 days self-immolation. Yeah.
And what they constitute as overseas is outside of Canada. So people going into the States, theoretically.
Oh, really? Yeah. Into the States too as well? My God.
If you've gone outside of Canada, you're supposed to say.
Wow.
So, and of course, the thing about these international matches, even like the one in Nova Scotia, is not so much local cases. Mm. It's the fact that people are coming in from all over the world. And somebody may be coming from one of these zones, not know they have it, come in and then spread it around here sort of thing. So that's why they're canceling it. And I think Quebec also canceled any gathering over 250
any
people.
Any indoor gathering.
But here, on television I'm watching last night, the mayor of Seattle, okay, and how exponentially it can multiply. I don't know what they have now. They have like 300 cases in them because of that old age home, and that's where the deaths were, yada, yada, yada. She said if something's not done within 6 weeks, there's going to be 25,000 deaths in the Seattle area. And then they had some doctors, on afterwards and said, no, she's not exaggerating. That could really happen. 25,000 from whatever they got now, a couple of handfuls now. I mean, this could really blow sky high, given the fact that the CDC in the United States has really blown it.
Centers for Disease Control.
Yeah, right? And the president, the president appears to me to be completely overmatched. Completely overmatched. He's in so deep, he has no... To me, just as someone who grew up there, he looks like he has no idea what he's doing.
Well, in our case, for example, our leader, the prime minister...
Yeah, he's in a 14-day quarantine.
He's now in quarantine.
He belongs, I say, with his wife.
Because his wife was in London at a speaking engagement. She came back, didn't feel well, so they tested her and found out, yes, indeed, she has the COVID-19. So now... He's conducting Canadian business from his home by telephone.
Behind closed doors, literally.
Okay. And no one knows what goes on behind
closed doors,
as the famous song.
But when you get behind closed doors, then he lets his hair hang down. I'm talking about, no.
And is that behind the green door?
No, that's another one. No. Midnight.
Oh, don't
one
start.
One more
oh,
night. No, okay. Another
experiment. But anyways, like to bring it back to sports, I guess, this is why like a lot of leagues and games are like it's postponed until further notice because we don't know or they don't know what's going to be happening a month from now or even weeks from now, the way COVID-19 has been progressing.
It's interesting what the effect this will have on society. We don't realize until they're gone what a big part sports plays in our lives, okay?
And well, in the economy, too.
Yeah.
Never mind that. But I'm just talking psychologically. Yeah. Earl Warren, the former Chief Justice of the United States of America, once said that he always read the sports pages first because he wanted to know what man had accomplished the previous day, okay? So it gives you a break from the madness that we read about and view on, read in the newspaper, well, newspapers, there I am dating myself, read about on our phones and see on television. So it's very subtle, but we're gonna see how people do without that stimulus that athletes provide about achieving things. You know, I mean, they get a bad press a lot of times, but what they do is they are people and human beings of accomplishment. They really are. That's what they do. They accomplish things. And so that filters into our psyches, I believe. And so all of a sudden, when that disappears, we have to see what's going to happen.
Well, of course, not only is the sports canceled, but all these entertainment events, too, that people are going to. I mean, all these concerts, the Juno Awards, the premier musical awards event in Canada, that's off. And the St. Patrick's Day Parade in Dublin and in Boston and in Montreal, which are all big, big events, of course. And all these things, of course, bring in millions of dollars into the local economies. You know, I mean, I think Saskatoon was expecting like $9 or $10 million to be pumped
from the Junos?
From the Junos, just into that little
city of 120,000 town people.
City of Saskatoon, you know. And I mean, when you have these big concerts that are canceled and big events like the Formula One that are canceled, the season, imagine the loss from the season of something like the NBA or those other events.
It's not even, it's like a couple of weeks ago, you spoke about the gig economy.
Yeah.
Like to bring it home, like I'm sure we all know freelance journalists who rely on covering these events and, you know, making their living like that, or Uber drivers who, again, rely on these events to take people home after the game, and even bartenders and restaurants.
And the guys selling hot dogs. I mean, there's, you know,
well, these are people that matter.
What about the bouncers? They're going to be out of work, right?
Yeah, maybe they could be each other.
I can take anything, but the bouncers being out of work, that's no.
No, but I mean, restaurants, for example.
Oh, no, it's horrible. I mean, and people keep saying, just take 14 days off. Who can afford to take 14 days off? I mean, like in the gig economy.
Yeah.
I mean, you got to come up with the dough, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Government.
Anyway, we should be moving on to another subject of some seriousness, because we can go on and we'll forget your story.
My story's a pretty heartening story.
No, well,
and it speaks well of Canada.
All right. Well, so we'll change from that. But anyway, if you have thoughts on COVID-19 or how you'd like to weigh in on the subject, drop us a line here at the link on our website. Of course, there's many ways on the website. And of course, if you want to tune in, you can get the live show on the Facebook channel or on the Radio Canada International channel. And on our website, you can download the app on the side free, and then you can get us that way as well. Mm-hmm. So we're going to move on now to Terry's story, which again, it's a very serious story.
And it's a good story.
But it's a good story, he says. And this is the conversion therapy.
Therapy, which is this junk science, junk psychology. It's been around for a while, right? You're smiling.
No.
You think it's junk?
Yeah. Yes,
of course. It's junk. that tries to convince people that they are something else and that what they actually are sexually, right? Or gender. Mm-hmm. Sexually gender. Their gender. And it's been around for a while. And it's, from what I can tell...
Where did this start? Did you find out where this began, this whole
idea? I think
idea?
It started in some religion somewhere. In the Bible, no doubt.
Sounded like something.
With people saying, hey, wait a minute, the Bible says you can't be this, you can't be that. You know what I mean? We got to change this kid. You know? So, I mean, I'm pretty sure that's where it started. Mm-hmm. Okay, so what you do is you have these fake therapists trying to tell me that, you know, you're not heterosexual, you're homosexual.
No, it's the opposite.
No, well, but whatever. I mean, whatever.
Just to
clarify. They're trying to tell me what I am. No, but it doesn't necessarily have to apply only to gay people, to homosexuals, does it?
Well, that's the idea.
Well, that was the idea.
No, you're right. Okay, sorry, boys. Okay. I was thinking of boys and girls and, gender. Okay. Mm. Male and female. Okay. So, but it's brainwashing. It's a form of brainwashing, essentially. They're saying, well, you're not what you are. Luckily, we've made enough progress, I guess, over the last 20 years, maybe, eh? That people are no longer buying into stereotypes. Anyway, to make a long story short, our justice minister, Dave Lametti, okay, introduced on Monday a bill that's going to make it illegal for this nonsense to go on in Canada, okay? And check this out. We you know, when it passes, and it will, because it's got the support of the NDP, and even the Tories said, well, it doesn't sound like such a bad idea. You know, we'll see how that plays out, because they base their whole thing on a culture war, right? The Tories. I know you're friends with some of them, Montgomery, but I mean, they want that culture war thing going for an election, right? So we'll see if they go along with it, but it looks like they will. We become the fourth country after Brazil. Mm. Brazil, imagine, Ecuador. Imagine. And Malta. Well, we'd expect that at Malta. I mean, okay, and Germany. And Germany's also just about to pass legislation. It's already illegal in Nova Scotia, Manitoba, Ontario, Prince Edward Island. Some cities, Vancouver, Calgary, and Edmonton have blocked it. You know, I mean, thank God. Thank God. There's sometimes Canada gets it right. You know, a lot of times Canada gets it right. And in this particular issue, with this particular issue, they seem to have it right. No more junk science messing with, because they start with kids. They start with a 13-year-old kid, you know, saying, oh, yeah, 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 yeah. No. Enough already, I say.
I'm not even sure that people who have been subjected to this actually end up not more emotionally confused than
of course they do.
Possible, yeah. You know? And it just, it's a strange, and the people conducting this, are any of them actually trained psychologists? I think they're probably not. They're just people who are, I don't know.
I doubt it. I mean, come on. Yeah. I'll leave it. Again, I go back. I mean, you got to be really careful with religion, eh? People get locked into positions that aren't necessarily all that healthy, right? I mean, I'm not anywhere in the world, you know, I'm not picking one particular religion on that, but I mean, come on. It's tough enough being a teenager, eh? Tough enough being a human being without people telling you, no, we're going to fix you. What you are is all wrong.
But you see, you just said an important word. We're going to fix you as if...
Well, that's right. That's,
as if there's something broken or wrong.
Yeah, later for that, man. You know, later for that jive, you know? Really. Hey, Dutil, am I right or am I right, huh? So here's the best golfer in the building right there, Pierre Dutil. A 3 handicap.
Well, that's why he was late today. He was just checking out the golf course.
Oh, he's probably out there at that thing. Because in that building where you get to drive the ball into a screen and pretend you're at Augusta National or something. Because he's later and later every day.
You see what's happened. Because just a couple of days ago, we were freezing once again. But now it's like springtime. So
Today, it's going to rain. It's going to wash away the snow. I hope.
Hopefully.
It's going all the way up to 7 degrees. I mean, we don't ask for a lot in Canada. 7 degrees Celsius. Eh? That for us is spring. That for us is heaven.
That's
7 degrees
time.
And raining, eh? Boy, oh boy, eh?
Let's 7 degrees, hear it for Canada, eh? Where 7 degrees in Canada, the guys will bring out their shorts and their sandals.
That's right. No, they'll be on the terrace having coffee, you know, on St. Denis Street. If
7 degrees. You laugh, but like already last week, a coworker and I were talking about, wouldn't it be nice to open the terrace right now and like have a sangria? Last Saturday.
You know, I get a kick out of the shows, these American TV shows out of California or something, where they're like George Costanza with a big winter coat. It's like, wait a minute, you know, it's probably the equivalent of about 18 degrees there, and they got the coats on.
Yeah, it's like those people that show up in Montreal in July with skis on the top of their car. Right?
Yeah. All right. Well, anyway, don't show up in Montreal expecting to go to the St. Patrick's Day parade because, alas.
Bring a Mac. Bring a Mac if you come to Montreal today. Do they have to go back? No. Do they have to go into 14 days of
that's an
self-isolation?
What happens to the tourists coming?
Yeah.
But the Americans, of course, have banned flights from Europe, right?
Well, some flights.
Yeah. Some flights. Not from Great Britain.
I mean, it's like, again.
Our minister, Chrystia Freeland, was saying we're looking at the American situation to see if we should follow suit.
Yes, I know. I'm going to do a story on that later on today, so read it. Oh, I mean, it could be on our website.
A nice teaser.
That's right. Well,
you got to promote yourself.
He's a pro. Yeah. He can do it all. Yeah. He can tease anything.
including my hair.
Including his hair, right. Okay. Including that honker. Okay.
So, on that happy note, we will bid you adieu for this.
What, topic. Already?
Well, no.
Yeah, we still got 40 seconds left.
Well, all right. I'll turn it over to you.
Do one of your famous exits. Go ahead. Go ahead, ladies and gentlemen. No. Mark Montgomery will now sign off.
Bye.
Oh, no. Come on.
That's a...
That's the best you can do?
No, that's not the best I can do. But I'm not trained like you are. I haven't done... I remember you played a judge once.
That's the career path. Judge, guy in the next bed in the hospital scene.
Judge not, or ye shall not be judged. And on that note, we must say goodbye this time around, because in fact, we've run out of time, Terry.
Oh, boy. Bye, everybody.
Bye, Vinny. Bye. Terry, I'm still here. I'm not leaving.
Vincenzo Morello, Mark Montgomery, Pierre Dutille, Marc-André Deschamps, and Léo Boulanger. Adieu. Until next time.